So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, that verse is true. And I suppose that everybody here at some point in your Christian life has been in such a place with the Lord that your mind was stayed on the Lord. And during that period of time, you knew that your trust in the Lord was absolute, and you knew the peace that you were experiencing in your life was the peace of God. And I mean, it was at a pinnacle. It's not like that every day, but you know those days, sometimes those periods of time in your life where it's been that way. Well, I'll tell you, honestly, that perfect peace does emanate from your trust in the Lord, as I say in the notes here, your ability to keep your mind stayed on Him. The deal is, though, there are a lot of things that compete for the attention of your mind. And you know at any time whether your mind is really stayed on the Lord or not. You know that. I mean, I'd ask you the questions I ask here. Where is your mind throughout the day? Where was your mind today? As you started the day, as you went all through the day, and as you're here now, where has your mind been? If it's not stayed on the Lord, then your trust in the Lord is weakened and your peace is diminished, as I say in the notes here. Now, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the kinds of minds that you can have and the fact that those will keep you from having perfect peace. And then we'll also look at the kinds of minds that you can have that do have perfect peace. And we're not going to dwell on these so much. We're going to just kind of walk down the list. You can take this home and study this more in your leisure. We're going to walk down the list. And then we're going to come back and actually kind of dig in on some of these. For instance, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil blinded the minds, the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that are lost in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, lest the light of the glorious gospel in Christ Jesus should shine unto them. All right? So the devil blinds the minds of the lost from the light of the gospel. If you've done any work like we do with passing out Bibles or just any kind of personal work, man, there are times you see the lights are completely out and it's not getting through. And the devil really, really works hard to oppose the gospel in that place. All right, then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul talks about minds that are corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And in there he's talking about Satan being transformed to an angel of light and false apostles and people. Well, any of you ever came out of religion, you know that religion corrupts your mind from the simplicity that's in Christ. What does religion do? It gives you certain things that you have to do, certain ways that you have to conduct your life in order to make yourself presentable to God so He can give you salvation when you die. Right? All right? So that's a corruption because the simplicity of Christ says Jesus has already done all that work. All you need to do is receive Him. Now, when people get hung up there, they'll say, well, yeah, but that can't be all there is to it. Well, there really is. Will Jesus Christ save a person who sincerely comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if he doesn't intend to live for the Lord after he gets saved? Yes, he will. What could be simpler than that? Now, the Lord's intention really is to take control of your life and make everything better, even though he may have to make some things worse in order to make it better. So that's a corrupt mind, and men will do that. All right, then there's a proud mind, and we refer to Daniel chapter 5, verse 20, and that's the mind that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that's the mind that that Belshazzar had when they talked about how all these great and wonderful things that God, not God had given, but that they had in their kingdom that they had provided, and they were worshiping gods of gold and silver and stone and all that other kind of brass and iron and all that kind of stuff. Kind of like Americans today, right? And pride will harden your mind against the truth of the Lord. You ever talk to a proud man about the Bible? It's not listening. It's not necessarily that the devil doesn't have to blind a mind like that. He thinks he knows more than you do. You ever talk to somebody and say, now the thing I want to tell you is, and he goes, yeah, I know. He doesn't know, but he thinks he does. Proud mind. Then there's a worrisome mind. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we talk about be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. We're talking about your mind and peace, perfect peace. The peace of God passes all understanding to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. You ever go to the doctor, get bad news, and go home worried? Go to the internet and study your knees and find out after 5 minutes of looking how bad you are. I mean, because you're not going to, you know, if there's 19 things on the list and all these are like, you can take an aspirin and solve those, and down here this is like terminal. Somehow or another you go, this is terminal. And then you can't pray. And then you don't have peace. You're worried. And you don't sleep at night. That's a worrisome mind. And it will rob the peace of God. So your mind and perfect peace compete whenever your mind is worried. Worried about your job, your family, your health, your money, your church, your spouse, you know, the lawn, your car. All right, then there's a shaken mind. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, a shaken mind. Let's go over there real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Some of these you're familiar with. I want you to see this one. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, verse 1 for the context. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Are you excited about that? Yeah, amen. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Are you excited about that? Amen. Yeah, me too. I knew you were, but I just wanted you to hear yourself say it. I thought, man, we're going to go home and people are going to say, man, they're not very excited about the Lord coming. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Boy, you know, you hear one more good pastor succumbing to immorality, and you hear more bad news on the international scene, and more rockets being shot into Israel by Gaza, and more political corruption going on in the United States of America, and more economic bad forecasts, and more bad news about health care and all that other stuff. You know what it'll do? It'll shake your mind. Have you ever been exposed to more than that than your mind can handle, and your mind gets shaken and find suddenly that it's robbed the peace of God in your heart? It just shuts down. I had a guy call me the other day, and he says, what do I do about this? And he told me what the situation was. He hadn't been sleeping at night. And he hadn't been sleeping at night because of all these things. He said, what do you do about that? I said, well, I sleep. How do you do that? I said, I turned off Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity. And those are the three I remember their names. I don't remember all the other guys' names. I don't listen to any of them anymore. I read my Bible. I trust God. And I realize that bad things are going to happen before Jesus Christ comes. And that's just A-okay with me. And I'm not having trouble sleeping right now at all. And I don't say that to boast. I'm telling you. A shaken mind robs your peace. It really does. And so if you're shaken by it, don't look. Don't look. Yeah, but I got to know. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not really. Somebody said you need to be informed. And I understand that. And once you're informed, what are you going to do with the information you have? It hadn't changed much. I'm not, what do you call that puts its head in the sand? An ostrich? I just know that the news you get from the Bible is a lot more certain than the news you get from the speculation of broadcasts. Listen, when I was a kid, we used to get the news 30 minutes in the evening. And you got everything that happened and the weather on top of that. And all the sports. And if you really wanted a little bit more local flavor, you got the local newspaper. You could cover the whole thing with a cup of coffee in the morning and right after supper in the evening. And now they're trying to make the news 24 hours a day on 15 different channels. There's going to be some speculation in that. And it's going to shake your mind. And it's going to rob your peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. All right, and then we have the double mind. The double mind. Turn over with me to James chapter 1, verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is what? He's unstable. in some of the things that he does. Yeah, some and some other things too. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, a double mind, I put down here in your notes for you, tries to force its will and God's will at the same time. And you cannot do that, because your will, if it starts with you, is not God's will. Even Jesus Christ, who said to everybody and recorded in the scripture, I do always those things that please him, had to wrestle with the Lord at Gethsemane over his will and God's will. Now, if he had to do it, we're going to have to do it. Let me describe. I do a lot of personal work and get involved in your lives, try to help you in that kind of thing. So I'm going to give you something general, and if it kind of trees you, I'm not using you as the illustration. But I see one of the biggest problems with Christians today is you got an agenda and God has an agenda. And those are not the same. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, God says. My ways are not your ways. And one guy added, and never the twain shall meet. Now, and I'm telling you what, when you are forcing God into your plans, and you already know that your plans are not his plans, and you're still trying to walk carefully and negotiate that fence, you're double-minded. And therefore, you're unstable. And the Bible goes on to say, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The Lord's not going to bless that. He can't bless that. You got to get to a place where you give and say, listen, when I got saved, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we got the mind of Christ. I have your mind, and I can think with your mind, Lord. And so what I'm going to do is I am not going to think with my mind about this particular matter, because I've got a lot at stake here. And you know what? When you try to force God's plan and your plan together, you're not going to be at peace. And you'll never have peace. Not there. You'll never have peace in that situation until you give up and say, God, it doesn't make any difference what my mind in this matter is. I'm going to search the scripture and I'm going to find what your mind is in this deal. And then I'm going to think about this the way you think about it, or I'm not going to think about it at all. And when you think about that the way that God thinks about that, there's going to be peace. And there's going to be trust. And your mind will be able to stay on the Lord. It's very, very important. It's about everything in your life. Jobs and homes and spouses and friends and investments and what you should do and what you shouldn't do throughout the day, where God wants you to serve or doesn't want you to serve. If you have a thought about it and God has a thought about it and they're not the same, just quit thinking about it. Let him do the thinking. You find out what his mind is, and that's where you put your mind, and peace will come. And the thing will work out. It always does. Are we getting through? That make sense? Okay. Carnal mind. Let me just show you this one real quick. Carnal mind, and then we're going to talk about the other two briefly. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord, for they are spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Romans chapter 8 says this, verses 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, basically, the carnal mind is something that wants something that's going to satisfy the flesh. That's the carnal mind. Spiritual mind is about satisfying the things of the Spirit of God. Carnal mind is about satisfying the things of the flesh. The other day, we had the men's Bible study, and Zach Bates did a lesson that was really good. And in the first point, he was quoting Romans chapter 8, verse 1, about walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And I asked him, I said, how would a young Christian know if he was walking after the Spirit? And he hesitated, and I kind of hesitated. He's kind of, well, I see, you know, he would just kind of know that he's following the Spirit. Well, you do know that after a while. But when you're a young Christian, that's not an easy thing to know. How many of y'all remember when you were a young Christian what it was like to try to walk after the Spirit? Right? It's a very uncertain thing because there's a lot of stuff out there. We came to this conclusion. He said, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I may not know when I'm a young Christian whether I'm walking after the Spirit, but I do know whether I'm walking after the flesh. And if I'm walking after the flesh, then I know based on that verse that I'm not walking after the Spirit. Is that correct? So, if I want to know that I'm following and walking after the Spirit, we concluded, the thing to do is check to see whether I'm walking after the flesh. And if I am, don't do that. Don't do that. So that's a carnal mind. There is nothing worse than to get around a Christian who's been saved 30 years who still operates with a carnal mind. Full of pride and full of self-will and full of flesh and fleshly attitudes. That's a really rank, smelly Christian. You know how old men get when they get real old, they start to smell bad? Smell of old. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. I met one today. I was at the nursing home. I walked by this guy. He said, "It's sure good to see you." And I was like, "What?" See you too. Yes, sir. Old carnal Christian is a smelly rascal. You know that? You don't want to be thinking with a carnal mind. That's enmity against God. And you'll never, ever figure out spiritual matters if you keep doing that. Now he goes on, I go on in the list to show you a couple more minds. There's a defiled mind. And that's a fabulous study in itself, but that's one basically where the imagination, the thoughts of your imaginations are competing, exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. May I tell you something? If you're still hooked on the internet and television and all that other stuff that's feeding sex and violence and extortion and larceny and evasion and all that other stuff into your mind, would you do yourself a favor? Cut it off. Because you're defiling your mind. And listen, do you want perfect peace with God? That's the question. If you want perfect peace with God and you want your mind stayed on the Lord, then you cannot defile it with the stuff that is being piped in and day out. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. It just will not produce peace in your life. And then a reprobate mind, and you know what that is. That's somebody who has been turned over by the Lord to vile affections, has been turned over to the Lord to this reprobate mind. Sin overtakes your mind and overtakes your mind with pleasures that are worthy of death. And you know, there are people that have been able to recover themselves from that, but not very often. They're sunk. You're never going to have perfect peace with God with all that going on. Now, you will have perfect peace with God with these other things. So let's just go through those again. Set the plow where we need to. A loving mind. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ answered a lawyer who asked him, what's the great commandment of the Bible? I want you to see it for yourself, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You could probably quote it, but When we quote it, we often quote it quickly and we don't really concentrate on one aspect. He says here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now we know that. Okay, with all thy heart, that's true. And with all thy soul, that's true. And then look at this. And with all thy mind. With all thy mind. A loving mind. A mind fully loving the Lord leaves no room for these other things. You see, now Job, I believe, loved the Lord. And when he lost all of his possessions in his family, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not blame the devil for the... Even though the devil was the one that did it, it was God who gave him the permission to take away the possessions and take away the children. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, one little bad thing comes our way and we just want to throw things up in the air and go crazy and say, what in the world, bad, horrible thing is happening here? Don't you know that when you love God with all of your mind doesn't think like that? Because you realize that when your mind is stayed on the Lord, there's trust, and when there's trust, there's perfect peace. And if there's not perfect peace, then the mind is not fully loving the Lord and trusting Him with your life. That's the kind of mind that will give you perfect peace. A renewed mind. And obviously, if your mind has been defiled and double-minded and carnal, then you want to renew it. And a big dose of something like you're hearing tonight, a big dose of Bible reading, will change that mind. It'll transform your mind. And don't you know, listen, honestly, you are not as strong a Christian today as you will be 6 months from now if you keep doing what you're doing. Is that right? Some of you have been saved a long time. You think, oh, I'm still going to get stronger. Yes, you are. Still going to get more trust? Absolutely. Going to have more peace? Absolutely. You're going to keep growing. You're not as strong today as you will be 6 months from now if you keep doing what you're doing. And you know what? But you're stronger than you were 6 months before. Give God time to continue to renew your mind. But if He's given you light tonight about why you're not having peace in your life, respond to that light. Let Him renew your mind and change your attitude about some of the things that are causing you trouble right now. A willing mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, is really in the context of giving. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to serve you in whatever capacity, to give you whatever you want, that prepares your mind for more dependence upon God. Even though it may be spooky. And then a humble mind, He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did He do? He humbled Himself before His Father and said, do your will, not my will. And that meant the death of the cross. So a humble mind says, my flesh certainly may not like the direction that we're going here, but I trust you. I trust you. Any of y'all ever do a tandem jump from in a parachute? Okay. You got to trust that guy, don't you? Oh, yeah. I mean, because, you know, how high were you when you jumped out? 1,500 feet?
No, I was
5,000? 8 or 9,000 feet. You did a little free fall like that? Yeah, and you're like, hey, dude, are you going to pull that chute anytime? You know, hey! You can't do that unless you trust Him, right? I mean, there's a guy that jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. You know, no bailout on that. He even paid for the privilege, you know. But the point is, it's just what you know, you've bailed out. Now you've jumped. You've got to trust Him. Humble yourself. Don't you know that He's smarter than you are? Let me ask you, I'm going to ask yourself this question tonight. Is there anybody tonight that really believes God is such an ogre that He has got bad plans for you? He wants to hurt you. He wants to make your life miserable. He wants you to have a third-rate life. a horrible job, never be able to pay your bills, right? Is that the God you know? No. Do you think He wants the best for you? I know He does. You're going to have to trust Him. In order to trust Him, you've got to humble yourself. Okay, and then finally, I said this, a single mind. A single mind. And just look at 2 Corinthians 13, 11, just real quick for this. The Lord has blessed us in this church abundantly with this mind. But may I tell you something? It doesn't go without notice to our adversary. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, finally, brethren, farewell. 2 Corinthians 13, 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, that's not an easy thing to do because we all kind of come with different opinions about things. But he said, you know what, I want you to just be of one mind. And to the extent that we are, you know, we're a formidable force because the strongest living entity in the world is the body of Christ. And the devil knows that, and he would love to just get right in there and splinter. And God's blessed us abundantly. But you got to remember, you know what? We're in this together. We need to maintain the same mind. So if for some reason the adversary gets a little foothold in, and you find in your own heart this shakiness, it'll disturb your peace. It disturbs the peace of the congregation. You know what? Just abandon that and let the Lord continue to guide us with His mind, one mind, single mind. It keeps peace and harmony within the congregation. In your house, same thing. If husband and wife are and not single-minded, contention. So strengthen the things in the list that you see that give you perfect peace, and diminish those things that take away that peace. And then what you'll find is just what Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And it'll really help you. Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to be able to look at this study. And, you know, we've got a little resource thing to take home with us tonight. I pray, Lord, that if there's an area that's addressed a need in the life of any of our people here tonight, that it's more than just information being passed on. I pray some that we'll be very, very mindful to do something with what you've shown us tonight, just the way you presented it to us, and ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.